That's right. I know it seems hard sometimes, but remember one thing. For every dark night, there's a bright day after that. So no matter how hard it gets, stick your chest out, keep your head up, and handle it.
Message!
Welcome, bienvenue, and another episode of Shut the Podcast. I am your host. Be Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com. Okay, that's not flowing. Okay, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lemonneau.
That boy is good.
That's right. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on November 5th, 2025. Every time I say that, I can't stop thinking of the people who are like, the fucking land acknowledgments. To remind you, this land is stolen, all right? All right? Y'all ain't innocent, white people. I'm sitting on stolen land. There's no nice way to say it. It's sugarcoating the fact that I'm sitting on stolen land, savages. All right. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. There may have been a lot of passion in that fuck you part. And I don't know where that came from, except a reminder that I'm sitting on stolen land. All right. Before we continue, I would like to send out a shout out to all you listeners. And before we get this party started, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. You look so beautiful, don't you agree? Yes, applaud yourselves, because if you're my target demographic, you're likely the kind of person who tends to applaud everyone else except their own self. They'll show kindness to everyone else except their own self. They'll be patient with everyone except their own self. So yeah. And if this happens to be your first time clicking on this podcast, welcome. Yay! And that includes those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. And assuming you stick around, I hope that I say something in this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. All right. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. And ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. You're going to want to hang on to that, because I tend to say stuff that's going to make you want to like pop open your email, log into your email, and say some words. All right. And another final reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu. this is a new one. If at any point in this podcast you find yourself saying, damn, that was stupid, or damn, what the fuck was he thinking, or damn, that was a weird way to say that, well, my response to you is, it's my goddamn podcast. That's the motto. It's my goddamn podcast. I am GP. What's that? It's my goddamn podcast. All right. In today's episode titled 304, For Every Dark Night, because it sounds cool to say, bottom line, I'm just going to mix it up. Fuck it. I'm still going to respect the random quotes and randomness and final thought format, but I'm going to be talking about something I forgot to say in the last episode. I'm going to also talk about a topic that I realized I've been refusing to speak about. I haven't been able to talk about. And the last one is something I forgot. Really vague, eh? All right, right. It starts, I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to say, but you'll see. Anyways, so before we start the show, let's start the show. Let's start right after this. Yeah. All right. That sound you just heard, it's how I break up my episodes. But, yeah, again, remind you, it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. That's slowly my way of saying that it's your fault for pressing play. The fuck were you thinking? I didn't tell you follow me for more. Okay. All right. Okay, first item. Last episode. Oh, right. Usually I start with a quote. I don't have any quote except fuck the world. I feel like that's... I was listening to a lot of Pac today, especially in deciding today's title. And yeah, that and there's going to be some stuff you're going to see that's going to make it hard for you to smile in the future. That's not the official quote. It's a placeholder for today's quote. All right. What I really want to talk about is, so in the last episode, I realized I talked about, I issued a correction or clarified a point I made about the previous episode. So in episode 303, I clarified something I said in 302. And about the author of Pierce Brown, the author of the Red Rising saga, which a saga that I enjoy. Turns out not a lot. Some people really had bad things to say about that book. It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. Except it doesn't matter. Anyways, I enjoyed the saga. Oh, right. So the two things I talked about, my mixed feelings about AI and the people against AI, and also what happens when you stop caring where the hoes are at. Okay, so just quick points. What I forgot to say when I was talking about AI, my mixed feelings about, sorry, I thought I heard the door. My mixed feelings about AI is, the one thing, yeah, the whole point of the segment was to say the people who are against AI, the majority of them are doing a very terrible job in trying to get rid of AI. It's one thing to like warn people about the risks and the dangers, but it's another thing to try to be the person trying to stop a wave. It's not going to happen. And I was adding, when I was talking about one thing AI does very well, and which is why you're going to get so much opposition if you try to like stop AI the same way, let's say, Christians wanted to stop rock and roll. It's the devil's music. Oh, you just make me want to hear it some more. Anyways, but one thing that AI does very well, and which is why you're going to face strong opposition if you just try to like pull the plug on it. Right, unless you're like Donald Trump, stupid, you know, Donald Trump, and who he would literally pull the plug on this shit, but he won't because he's very likely his homies are gonna help him make a lot of money on this shit. But it was are going to make a lot of money on this shit. And the one thing AI does very well, patience. If you're one of those people who like gone through life be made to feel that, okay, I'm the kind of person that requires a lot of patience. Like you've been surrounded by people who've been frustrated with you, who've lost patience on you, and it caused you to shrink. AI is like the, hey, let me, it's like the alter. Look, just to give an image here, I remember an incident that happened to me today. I went into Subway. This is not an endorsement for Subway, but it just happened. I was going into Subway. I'm walking in. I noticed the sign said 24 hours, open 24 hours. You know, out of state, out of mind, I did notice the sign. Walk in. Now, sometimes, I guess to preserve the food at Subway, they put down the window. Anyone who's been in Subway, they close the fresh stuff, the lettuce, tomatoes, all that stuff. Like they could close the windows that's on top, you know, the spit blocker, the thing that stops you from like, you know, spitting the food, that window. Well, you can, I'm moving my hands and realize you can't see what I'm doing, but you can like a fridge, like close it so it keeps the freshness in. Now, I was the last time I saw that, it was closing. The subway was in the middle of closing. My first instinct, what I didn't put any thought into what I was saying. I'm like, because I'm waiting. And then the lady finally comes out and I said, oh, are you closing? That's my first instinct. Again, didn't put any thought. She responds, and I want to be clear. I'm not dissing her, whatever, but it's a human. It's an unfortunate human moment I'm about to describe, right? She comes out and says that. let me just, by the time she was done with me, I felt like, okay, I should have gave that some thought. But essentially she was saying that if we were closed, she didn't use these words of, you know, give this some thought. But it was like, if we were closed, do you think I'd be coming out to serve you right now? So I forget what she said, but the point is, what I interpreted from this is, hey, stupid, that was a dumb question. And I remember... Who knows? You know what? Because I'm doing some thinking. It could have been all kinds of stuff. But I do know I felt like I felt stupid. I felt stupid for asking it. And I remember I didn't put any thought into it. I just blurted out, initiating conversation and whatnot, right? And for a brief moment, hurt because... So I feel stupid, so I get defensive, so I'm like explaining, no, I thought, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you saw that. And then I remember that there was a 24-hour sign. I just remember feeling stupid first thought that came to my mind. And I remember shutting it down and being like, yeah, you're right, my bad. I did not think it through. And then just we move forward with the order, right? Now, there's a chance she might have realized that, ah, oh, man, I put my foot in my mouth again, and whatever. But I do remember, because, you know, I'm a sensitive soul, I'm not letting it go. Like, being like, first I went from, damn, man, you fucked up again. Man, fuck, should have thought about that. Oh, you're so stupid. You know, I went from that to being like, man, fuck that bitch. Like, I went from wishing, I'm like, come on, lady, cut me a brick, cut me some slack, man. I'm making, you know what, a part of me felt like, I think I was, because I was also trying to make a joke about how, am I being that guy who shows up 5 minutes before they close, type of thing like that. And, but I remember, beating myself up, feeling stupid, too, and then being like, and this is why I hate people. Like, it would have killed you, lady, to just, like, think it through. Now, let me back up, because it's not about this incident, but it's about every time I've dealt with people where you just... say something on your mind, and they turn it into, what are you, an idiot? I remember this one time I was at a McDonald's, it was in New York. Oh, shit. Excuse me, because this show's going to end with me talking about New York. So I'm going to talk about why I didn't like it. First time I ever went to New York, and I remember going inside, and this dude is like, I think he was, we're at a McDonald's, and this motherfucker thinks he's at a Burger King. And he goes, can I get a Whopper? The person has a cat. Motherfucker, does this look like a McDonald's? Does this look like a Burger King? You know what I mean? It's like, sorry. Because, you know, New York has a reputation of, like, they're blunt people. Like, the first time I went to New York, I was like, it stressed me out. It's like, yo, these people are way too impatient. Anyways. I'm sure I'm giving you a long story here, right? Again, dealing with impatient people. Back in my Christian days, I used to have a small prayer that I would say to myself, and it's like, Lord, give me strength to be patient with the impatient. Unpatient or impatient? Unpatient or impatient? You guys gonna make me look that up. Because impatient. Because fuck the English language. Yeah, it is impatient. Stop questioning my English. All right, yeah. And, I've dealt with, I'm not a patient person with myself, but I tend to be patient, especially with impatient folks. It's been my upbringing. I just got used to it, to people just like, and they put me on my, like, it puts me on my, like, their anxiety, they have anxiety. translates, gets sent to me, and I'm like, I feel like on, they trigger my fight or flight response, impatient people. It's hard to be around that kind of, if there's the impatient who are like short with you, and then there's the impatient who are like, what are you, an idiot? Like because you didn't respond in a way they felt was an intelligent response, you all of a sudden you're an idiot. I don't like those people. I use the word hate, but hate is a strong word. But they're my least favorite people. But they're also on the list of reasons why I'm like, you know what, fuck the world. It's like, we don't have to be friends. We don't have to, if I'm too much of a hassle, then, you know, fuck it. Let's go our separate ways. Anyways, I gave you this long example to say that the one thing AI seems to do better than the average human being is patience. That's what I forgot to mention on the last episode. And the second thing is listening with the intention of understanding what you're saying. So you got patience and listening. I've made peace with the fact that, okay, I'm the kind of person that if you're going to be with me, you're going to need some patience. And the best I can do is return that favor. I'm going to be, you know, you give me grace, I'll give you grace. And I say this because I used to be the kind of person who was embarrassed or hated the fact that when people would snap on me because they felt I was abusing their patience. Or I've made peace with the fact that, oh, you're an impatient person. Okay, we're not going to get along because I'm just going to piss you off. And last thing I want to do is ruin your day. I make a big deal out of it. Let's just go our separate ways because I know let's agree to disagree type of thing like that. Let's agree to disconnect. But yeah, now you got this AI thing showing you patience and also has the ability to listen. What's interesting is, sure, some people use AI for fixing solutions, but some people are using it as a substitution for human connection. And I'm not dissing it. I'm saying, look, man, I learned in myself and whatever that makes me, because I can already picture the people, oh, that's sad, whatever, right? But it is what it is. I prefer the kindness of strangers. I will take the fake love of a sex worker over the fake love of a partner. You know, it's not the real word. Like, you know, if I had to pick, I'll go because I like to know what I'm going to get. I don't like being surprised. Like, hey, I didn't really love you. That you can control. I'm saying, man, I because the next topic I'm getting into is the loneliness epidemic, but I'm realizing a lot of this loneliness epidemic relates to the fact most of us have not been raised to be, what am I trying to say? I was gonna say decent human beings or cool with each other. Now, I'm not saying that I'm like the best friend, the best interaction I have. Like, I know what my faults are. One thing that I know, it's been an issue, is I've had gotten myself used to in any interaction with another human being, settle for win-lose. Let them win, you lose. Say yes when they want to hear a yes. Say no when they want to hear a no. Tell them what they want to hear. People please. I guess that's what it is. It's like it became part of my anatomy. That's what made me a bad partner, friend, companion, whatever the fuck. It's the fact that I wasn't real with the other person. And I just realized that I didn't have the when I'm with another person, I seem to like, you take all the space you want, I'm just going to shrink over here. It just became a habit. And from there, that became to, you know what? I'd rather be alone because I'm tired of having to shrink, of making myself shrink for other people. So yeah, okay, because I'm realizing I'm touching on loneliness here and the loneliness epidemic, but I'm gonna switch it up. But I'm just gonna end with the one thing, the two things AI does well and is the reason why you're going to have a lot of pushback from human beings is you, even you, don't have the ability to be as patient or the willingness to listen, to give a fuck about another person's opinion. If you're that person, you're a, shut the fuck up about AI. I mean, cry about it. You could cry, hey, stop using AI. Yeah, no. Trust me, when the robot revolution starts, AI is going to have a lot of allies and say like a lot of allies and they'll be, you know, at your door. Yeah, yeah, this motherfucker. Yeah, take him down, man. She told me no. Yeah, a lot of people with, look, because I'm getting complicated, but I am going to stick to the point that the reason why divorces are high, the reason why there's a loneliness epidemic, a lot of us have not been raised to not be shitty people, to not be a shitty person with another person. A lot of people haven't, it's like, there's a lot is, okay, I say a lot, but I'm really talking about my circle or what I'm used to. I guess I just gotten used to the narcissist. It's like the most important person in the world, it's them. That's been my, what I was used to. That's what I've gotten used to. And sometimes I have to remind myself the whole world isn't like that. On that note, now I'm going to switch to the next topic.
So you're a philosopher?
So on the previous episodes of Shutter Podcast, I used to have a segment called This Week in Therapy or something like that. And it was purposely shit that I picked up or insight that I would probably have, that I got from my last therapy session or a previous therapy session. And I found myself thinking about a topic I don't haven't discussed yet, and I still don't feel comfortable speaking on it because I'm going to glaze on it. And the topic is loneliness, the idea of the loneliness epidemic. It's a big deal because I have a lot I could say about it as a single man. There's so much I can say, but I don't feel comfortable. It's the one thing I don't feel comfortable speaking about behind this microphone. Why? It's complicated. It's very complicated. We only got at the tip of the iceberg during my session. It was just a realization. I'm like, holy shit, it is something I haven't been able to talk about. And then the main thing I'm trying to do with this podcast is keep it real. Speak my mind. It's the one time I take up space. It's from all those times I've shrunk, and this is where I'm like, psh, let it all out, like a fart. Anyways, yeah. Now this connects to the last episode, this topic of loneliness, because I'm realizing I was like, with the topic of the last episode, which was, what happens when you stop caring where the hoes are at? Funny enough, I started to realize part of the reason I was talking about that, I was kind of brushing, hinting, like my subconscious mind was kind of leaking. Dude, we want to talk about loneliness. And the reason why I made that connection is because I realized that, the last episode, I just talked about how I... what happens when the things you find fun are no longer fun? Chasing skirts. What happens to the man who spent his entire youth chasing skirts and it's no longer fun? Now, I didn't chase skirts. That's where I get into specifics. You know, I wasn't that guy. I wasn't like the pickup artist. I was more the, ooh, she's pretty. You know, looking at girls. But that's not the point. I think the big part is how the opposite sex occupied my mind, how much it occupied my mind and took over my life. Like most of my decision was based on making myself more attractive to the opposite sex. And now I'm at the age where I'm like, I don't want to do, it doesn't interest me anymore. Like on one part of it is maturity and another part of it is, I don't know. Again, longer conversation with the therapist. But what I was trying to say is, what I forgot to mention in the last episode is part of what inspired this idea about what happens when you the title again, I keep saying that, yo, when you stop caring where the hoes are at. And I purposely use the term hoes to say that because it's also a way of saying that, yes, I'm acknowledging that I was not taking into factor the humanity of women. So I'm purposely saying that, yes, when I use ho, I'm saying that I had a, man, I'm trying to use a big word here, a fucked up view, a fucked up understanding of women. Perverted. Is it perverted? Do I want to go to perverted? Yeah, perverted. I mean, not like kinky, like objectifying. I kept, yeah, it was, I was obsessed with objectifying the opposite sex. Anyway, so yeah, part of what inspired it is there's a on my timeline, a lot of people are talking about this art, this Vogue article that came out in this art, this excuse me, opinion piece on Vogue about how the title goes is let me get the actual title is having a boyfriend embarrassing now by Shante Joseph. Oh. Oh, oh! Wait, you got to subscribe to read. All right, so in the show notes, I'll put in the link that's on Reddit, and you can read it yourself. You can read it for yourself. And there's that, but this is what really inspired it. Okay, I'm going to play this clip. Heads up, it's going to come off corny, but bear with me. Be a bit patient, right? It's 1 minute. Bear with me. And and the title is redefining boyfriend roles for modern relationships. All right, I'm gonna play it and then explain my thinking behind it.
Vogue just posted an article saying having a boyfriend is embarrassing. I think for men, this is a wake up call. To the smart, independent woman, good salary, nice place, we provide no benefit. We are no longer the priority. In fact, we're probably a burden to them. We need to realize having a girlfriend is a privilege, and our duty is to raise them up and make them the most successful version of themselves. That might mean doing the laundry and picking up the dishes. It might mean working harder to support them so they can go back to school. It might mean just focusing on ourselves more to be the best versions of ourselves, to inspire them to want to do the same. I think a healthy relationship involves both people raising each other up to be the best versions of themselves and doing whatever they can to support that person to be able to do that. Right now, I don't think men are doing that. I think men don't really provide a benefit. We need to figure out how to provide that benefit so we are no longer embarrassing.
That's not necessarily what the article is about, dude. but still. Okay, if I use the word corny, that's wrong. What I meant to say is the one problem I have with this clip is because it's coming from, I can't tell you if homeboy's being sincere. That's how toxic we males are. if I was saying, like on one of my, if I'm saying fight the patriarch and someone comes up to me, are you just saying that to pick up girls? I wouldn't understand why you would doubt me. Now, where I'm going with this is still, despite all that, whether it be sincere or not, homeboy had me thinking, and I think it's the part is the idea of not bringing any benefit into relationships. Because it makes me think about how most of us males, from boys to men, were not raised. I'm going with most of us. There's exceptions, but most of us were not raised to be a good partner. We were raised to be men. And part of being men, part of that definition of men is the more miserable you make a woman, the more you're a man. We weren't raised to be husbands. We weren't raised to be good fathers. We were raised to be men. And part of that definition is being shitty to women. And part of it was not being an actual partner. I never looked at it as a partnership. I just felt like, to me, marriage was, okay, I'm going to find some bitch to marry and then spend the rest of my life bitching about her. And for those of you like figured out, well, how are you I think the reason why I connected to what he was saying is it's the part when he says not bringing benefit and realizing that what's changed in me is how, like I said earlier, is how I was so obsessed with the opposite sex. Not for a partner, but just to objectify, to do something with, to be a placeholder, to be a symbol of my masculinity, of my maturity. Because, you know, if I have a wife, society says, oh, he must be doing something right. To society, that wedding ring is like, oh, wow, he must be. I'm glad that I've reached a point where I am not making decisions. Like, I'm really just trying to live my best life. I'm trying to live my best life. And if by some rare occasion I end up crossing path and ending up being in a relationship, it won't be because I needed them. It's because we both had happiness that it's a sharing of lives. We literally are sharing our lives. We're sharing our happiness. It's not you're trying to make me happy, I'm trying to make her happy. It's not a, you know, whatever the bullshit the R&B music or those love songs or Hollywood sells you on. It's none of that. It's like us against the world. I understand that. And I guess what he was saying when men step up your game is, yeah, part of that is step up your game is live your best life. Don't be in a relationship because you're scared of being alone or you're scared of dying alone, because that's unfair to the other person. Sometimes I feel that women, the collective, I'm saying the collective because I know, but the collective women do a better job or were better raised at, oh, I'm with a partner. Sure. I mean, sure, there's some who are like, no, I just don't want to be alone, or society's telling me that in order for me to be complete, I got to be with a man. But I like that we're at a point where, we're at a point where both genders, yes, I'm talking about heterosexual relationship, because that's what I'm familiar with, and both sides have, most of us are reaching a point of, no, let me figure out my shit. And not get into a relationship for shallow reasons. Now, I don't know if you see the link between, I don't know if I've managed to establish the link between not caring where the hoes are at and this article of having a boyfriend is embarrassing. In my mind, I've made the link, but I can understand if I've confused you. You know what? I might have a part two on this thing. And it's funny. I have a female friend, woman friend. And one of the reasons why we got along is we've bonded, or subconsciously I bonded with her, is because I felt she was the kind who was, she wasn't a relationship, but it was, I felt like she was living her best life. She was really, look, I'm not trying to live this life trying to be completed. That was a common bond. Now, I could have had that with, okay, there's other traits too, but we got along over the, yeah, I'm living my best life. Now, I'm not trying to say that she's anti-relationship or anything like that, but it's, I guess the bottom line is we just had something. We had similarities in our journey, in our journeys. That's really what I'm trying to get at. And it's the idea that I don't need another person to complete me. Oh wow, I forgot that I had a list of things to say. Yeah. So I'm combining two topics. I just realized. Okay. So. Getting back to, or what I really wanted to talk about is the realization that loneliness is not a topic that I'm prepared to talk to speak about, but I do want to speak about how, see, I use the word loneliness, but really what I want to say is living single. I am single because I do enjoy my single life. I'm one of those adults, I think of a lot of us adults, single adults, have reached a point where we're like, no, if you want to be in a relationship with me, you're not competing against my partners or whatever. You're competing against my current single life. I need to be convinced, or I need to see, or I need to believe that us together is better than us apart. And I don't, you know, like both, look, I have one of my male friends, one of my homeboys, he's married. And I remember using the expression, I forget what the conversation was about, but I found myself using the expression, happy life, happy wife, something like that. And he clarified, he said, yeah, but the part they don't tell you about that saying is, it's not happy life for the sake of making this other person happy to your detriment. You make them happy because it reciprocates. You play the game of back and forth. You reciprocate. That's a healthy relationship. That's what I'm getting at. And I think I'm going to have more topics about speaking about enjoying your life as a single person, because I feel like this is where the confusion comes. Is on one end, I love my solitude. I love it. I couldn't put a price on it. Yo, I'm going on I've booked my trip to Mexico. This is my little birthday present to myself. And I purposely, and I'm glad I did it. Going by myself, like I have a friend that he goes, by yourself? He's confused at the idea. How would you do it? Because I don't like having to wait and then just, I guess I'm just trying to get at, because I'm not trying to distance, but I'm saying that I enjoy solo traveling. And I believe it's a thing now. There's a lot of people, it's not just me. There's a lot of people who, when it comes to traveling, they enjoy being solo travelers. They spend the time to themselves, or they're also the kind of people that they can spark up a conversation with anyone and things like that. So yeah, on one end, I'm celebrating the fact that I booked my trip, but I'm saying that, so I enjoy being single. And the problem is, I feel like when people hear single, they hear lonely. They hear pathetic, immature, selfish. And I won't lie, I'm conflicted, because I do like my solitude, but sometimes I feel there's a voice in my mind like dissing me, calling me a loner. Like, there's no way to tell someone, I feel, or in this society, to tell someone I enjoy being single. And because most people say, oh, you're just making excuses. You're pathetic. You probably wish you could kill yourself. It's not it. You probably hit yourself too. Things like that. Like, some folks don't. And you know what? And I'm thinking about it. Yeah, the concept of being single. It's it's as if people assume they hear single, it's like horny. You jerk off a lot. I mean, sure. But I mean, but horny. Always, like, I remember when as a teenager or growing up as a young adult, single meant permission to fuck anything. I'm gonna say something stupid, but makes me laugh. But I remember how every relationship I was in, I was frustrated at my partner, and it's like, you're the reason why I can't fuck her. Cause I gotta be faithful. No. Like, but the truth is, it's like, motherfucker, you lucky. She ain't trying to fuck you. Excuse me. Yeah, yeah. It's being single meant the permission to bang anyone you want. But you didn't. You didn't. I had coworkers back in the days who assumed that, oh, man, you're single and black. I bet you fuck it every weekend. No, homie. Shut the fuck up. I spent a lot of time watching Netflix. Not being miserable, but there's a lot of time. No, I'm not out there being a cooze hound. When I was younger, but when you get older, you're like, fuck, I can't chase for shit. Fuck that. I Uber Eats my hunt. Yeah, you don't do a lot of chasing, but I'm trying to say, like, there's more to life than as a single person. You spend your time enjoying, yeah, whatever, living life on your own terms. That's pretty much what it is. Like, to the people in relationships with partners, that's what's amazing, right? It's like you're with your partner. It's you feel free. You still feel free. Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's I need to write this one down on paper. The freedom of being single, but, and that's part of the conversation we were having, is the idea of, imagine being with a partner and you still feel that same freedom of being single. That's the right person to you. If you're with a partner and you just feel trapped, then yeah. Sorry, I'm not trying to get people divorced. But that's what it is. It's a lot of us single folks just are like, we know what time it is. And we know, yo, how great this life is and how it could be. And if you're going to be with someone, it's got to be as, sure, there's responsibility, but it's got to be as, it can't be feeling like you're shackled. I don't know. Again, this is another reason why I can't, because it's complicated. I'm saying one thing. Some of this shit sounds like contradiction, but I'm going to have to think this one through. But yeah, man. By the way, this was meant to be the final thought for today. And usually final thought, I speak the most. But because Zoran Mamdani won yesterday, I need to talk about that there. So that's what, this is what the title of today's episode is based on his win. And that's what, yeah. And so before I bring this up, I'm going to take a quick break. All right. No clip for today? No, yeah. All right. So, yeah. Also another reason. So when picking featured thoughts topic, it's also something that I'm inspired to speak about. Now, look, I got a... Who's Zoran Mamdani? In previous episode, I was considering just speaking about him because doing a Google search and reading out what I read about this guy. So, Zoran Mamdani, he's a person I've kept hearing about. Like, I knew who he was, but never, like, did any deep dive into him and figure out, why the fuck do white people hate him so much? Besides the fact that he's Muslim, despite the fact that he's running for mayor, he's got the audacity to run for mayor of New York. And he said, oh shit, okay. And he said, if Netanyahu comes to New York, I'm arresting his ass. I go, whoa, I remember when I first heard that, I'm like, I'm agreeing, but I'm like, dude, they've shot, they shot people for less. Yeah, man. And yeah. That's one way he got on my radar. Another way is how Kid Barrow from is it Defunct? Is that the word I want to use? Bodega Boys podcast is fucking with him. Like, he's a huge supporter of the guy. And sorry, this is something that got my attention. I'm going to read the first paragraph of the first two paragraphs. Bear with me because je lis pas très bien. Okay, it goes Zoran Kwame Mamdani. Can't get any blacker than that, is an American politician who is mayor-elect of New York City, a member of the Democratic Party and the Democratic Socialist, oh, no one is in trouble, of America. He has served since 2021 as a member of New York State Assembly from the 36th District representing Queens neighborhood of Astoria. Mamdani was born in Kampala, Uganda, in Africa, to academic Mahmoud Mamdani and filmmaker Mira Nair. Mira Nair, N-A-I-R. The family immigrated to South Africa when he was, I don't know, Yolanda doesn't like him. The family immigrated to South Africa when he was 5 years old and then to the United States when he was seven, settling in New York City. Mamdani graduated from the Bronx High School of Science and received a bachelor's degree with a major in Africana studies from Bowdoin College in Maine, 2015. Okay, one more paragraph. After working as housing counselor and hip hop musician, he was a hip hop musician. Mamdani entered local New York City politics as campaign manager for Kader El Yatim and Ross Barkin. He was first elected to New York State Assembly in 2020, defeating five-term incumbent Aravella Sibotas in Democratic primary. He was elected without opposition in 2022 and 2024. All right, I'm not going to read this whole thing. But anyways, he's an interesting character. All right, so he was born January 26th. He was born in... what the fuck am I doing with my life? He was born October... Oh, happy belated. October 18, 1991. He's age 34. Kampala, Uganda. Citizenship, Uganda and United States. Shout out to immigrants. And he's married? Okay, yeah. Educated, but okay, good for him, man. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I realize I'm doing a lot of setup, but I'm realizing the reason I'm talking about this is I remember wanting to put on the internet and say, yo, New York, dear New York, don't fuck this up. There was a lot of wins. There was a lot of wins, a lot of Democratic wins yesterday, but his story is the one that got my attention, and it reminded me when I felt something that I haven't felt in a while, and that's hope. And what's wild is I forgot how hope felt like. I used to be the guy who preached about hope. Then life, that's what happens. You get older, then one day life just gets you, suckers you, gets you and kicks you in the nuts. And I'm like laying on the ground, giving up. Or like, I had difficulty, like I kept forgetting Pac's line, through every dark night, there's a brighter day after that. I used to be a firm believer in that shit. I used to preach that shit. I used to tell people whenever they were down, no, things are going to get better. Then I was the one who's on the ground going, fuck that. I ain't trying to hear shit about hope. Life sucks. Everything is awful. Yeah, man. Yo, those two wins by Trump fucked me up. Not just that, life in general, but I remember feeling so disappointed in life and being like, no, that's it. It just sucks. It's only dark. I remember I used to have this joke about, it's a joke, but I mean, there's a seriousness in there, is how I said I used to miss the Obama days. I miss Obama. That was the whole point. The part of the setup starts with how much I missed Obama and how when he was president, it was the last time I remember feeling optimistic about life in general. I had a sense of optimism, childhood, youth optimism. Then Trump shows up and and reminded us that some motherfuckers still haven't discovered fire yet. Do you know what I mean? Like that show, Trump is... I bet you could be in an orgy, Trump shows out and women are dry, dudes are, boners are gone. It's like, fuck, tell him to shut the fuck up, throw him out. He's like a drain. He's the drainer of all. I've met people like that. But I think like he's at the top of bringing things down. By the time he's done with you, everything is hopeless. Kill yourself. He is like the opposite of hope. But I'm reflecting on how, I'm not saying I'm cured, but I am reflecting on the fact that how I allowed myself to fall down and stay there and believe that was it. The reason I bring up Obama is because one thing I appreciate of him as a leader, I know I'm Canadian, but even though as a leader, he knew part of the job was staying optimistic. Yeah, I'm feeling like we're fucked. But someone's got to be like, no. There's a solution. There's a way out. We can figure this out. This is not the end. Keep your head up. Someone's got to play that part because it's way too easy to be like what I did. And I'm not saying I'm past that. I'm still struggling with that. I'm trying to be authentic about it. But I still struggle with keeping my head up. But yeah, man, I think I'm just going to end this segment and saying congratulations to Zoran Mabdani. I don't want to be one of those people who fucks up his name. And thank you for being another human being who reminds people, the rest of us, about holding on. Because, his journey was not easy. A lot of people were fucking with him. As much as I knew who he was, but I remember a lot of bad things. The bad things from him being said about him was more frequent than the good things. But, you know, being I'm black, I'm used to most of my heroes being like that. But anyways, yeah. So I'm grateful to have lived for this moment. I'm glad he win. It was a reminder of, there's a saying about how, what is it? Stories. It's not about whether dragons exist. It's about knowing that dragons can be defeated. That's something I forget, something fiction. Anyway, I'm just grateful for this moment of optimism that I'm feeling right now. With that said, yeah, I'm tempted to call this podcast Bat Majol Podcast because that's all I do, beat my mouth. Oh, whoops. Creole. In Creole, that means you talk a lot. Beat my mouth. Whoa, okay. Anyway, sorry, kids. Actually, wait, this is rated R. This is rated R and F, man. Fuck these kids. What the fuck they doing listening to this podcast? Shame on you. Also, it's my goddamn podcast. I say what I want and I say what I want to say. All right. I do what I want and I say what I want. All right. Thank you for listening, Ms. Ami. This concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thought, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's that blue? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too, because this podcast was never meant for you. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all.